Right now, it is time to bring in none other than Arthur Schwartz.
Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.
Or let's have some Theraflu with that. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
Have either of you been sick?
I have not, and now that I said that, I will probably
Wood, because you have, it's a different, this isn't the regular flu.
Oh, okay.
This is a stomach thing, right?
Oh, well, I had a stomach thing, and Bob had the same stomach thing before me.
Right.
And just everybody, there was one day everybody I talked to was sick, and a couple others had the stomach flu, but what was going around was a modified flu. One friend's doctor said it was the flu that people were getting if they'd gotten the flu shot. Meaning, so it wasn't the full-blown horrible flu, but it was horrible to everybody who had it. Anyway, I had the stomach thing, which also included headaches, and it came over me one afternoon while I was eating lunch and visiting with a friend, and I had to go to bed. And I didn't get out of bed for the next 30 hours.
Yeah, and
I didn't eat for the next, 36 hours at least.
And then when you
started, still gassy.
When you started eating again.
Well, this is, I think if you have the runs, the thing to do is to eat white rice. If you want to put a little butter on it, a little salt, I would lay off the pepper for the moment. But I don't know. It depends on your on how tender your stomach is. So fortunately for me, this thing, which did not include the runs, only lasted the 30 hours, and then probably another day or two to recuperate. In fact, I'm still thinking this morning, I'm not fully recuperated. My stomach is still tender.
Right.
So we're not eating, harsh things, but we're eating again. On the other hand, I was about to go to the market on Saturday and buy fish, and the thought of fish made me nauseated, so...
And can I just interject, because people should really listen to their stomachs with their thoughts, like if
yes,
no, they really should. But you'd be, I am frequently astounded at the number of people who don't, and it's like that's actually your brain and your stomach in sync trying to get you from exacerbating a situation.
So I did not have the run, so I didn't have to do the rice thing. Mr. Stubborn didn't want to do the rice for a day or two. He wanted potatoes with sour cream, which I think was a phase after plain white rice. But that is something my mother used to give me as a first food when I was sick. After I was getting well and needed to eat something.
What about applesauce?
Yeah, well, in my memory, it was boiled potatoes with sour cream.
Okay.
And because it is in my memory, it's what's in my life or used to be. So these days, I much prefer whole milk yogurt to the sour cream. But anyway, Bob has adopted this as his "I'm getting a little better" food, except that he needed rice. So eventually, when he decided, okay, I'll try the rice, his stomach got better. So I think rice is...
rice is all-purpose. Can I just... And sometimes
white rice... binding. They used to say, and rice is binding.
It still is. Quick question about... Do you make rice or do you use a rice cooker?
No, I make rice.
Okay. No, I understand. I just... I don't even know.
No, it's a big machine to make some rice. I put in 2 cups of water into a small... if I make 1 cup of rice, it's too much. So, truthfully, a half a cup of rice for the two of us is enough. Because that a half a cup of rice results in 1.5 cups of rice.
Right.
And a serving should not be more than a cup. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people eat a lot more than a cup, but I'm careful about this, and especially since I should only, as a diabetic, have a half a cup. And I don't eat rice that often because it's such a paltry amount of rice. Unless I'm eating something that I have to have rice with, I'm not going to go into that right now. But
you know,
there are some Asian dishes that I have to have rice with.
I never understood people that bought these Instapots to make rice because you're right. You take 2 cups of water and maybe a cup of rice. And in 12 minutes, you heat it up and then you turn it off and cover it. And 15, 20 minutes later, it's done.
I know. I don't do it that way.
I bring the water to a boil with salt.
Yeah, and then put the rice in.
A couple of pinches of salt. For 1 cup of water,
yeah.
It takes no time to bring. I'm sorry, two cups of. Yeah. Let's say I'm doing a cup of rice, which is going to result in 3 cups of rice. So, for a cup of rice, you 2 cups of water, double the water, whatever it is, and this salt. Bring it to a boil, put in the rice, cover the pot, lower the heat to pretty much the lowest on my stove, so it just simmers away. And I do my rice for 18 minutes.
Yeah, but if it's under 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Then here's a trick I learned from Nika Hazelton, who was one of my mentors early, like the beginning of my career. Nika was a – I don't want to do a Nika Hazelton ode right now, but – she taught me with the rice because she liked to make. She had big dinner parties and she cooked everything for a dinner party. But she wanted to be with her guests, so everything was cooked ahead. This is so you're cooking ahead the rice, or you want to make it and let it sit there a while. You take a paper towel or a nice dish towel,
would be even better,
and put it on top of the thing and then cover the pot and you leave it off the heat, covered with the dish towel, until you're ready to serve it. It'll be nice and steamy for at least a half an hour.
And then I'm going to add one thing because this is what a friend of mine did, and I stood there absolutely gobsmacked saying, oh, that's wrong, but in fact it worked, is there are people in Europe who make rice the same way they make pasta.
You could just boil it and strain it. Right.
Just FYI.
Different rice than our. What I was talking about and what
Carolina.
Marshall was talking about is long grain American rice, Carolina, which I think is mainly grown in Texas and Louisiana, and processed down there in Texas. It's a product of Riviana Foods, which has that same rice in other parts of the country called, I think it's Mahatma rice. Now, if it was called Mahatma rice, in New England and New York.
They wouldn't. Well, it's funny. They could sell some.
It would sell for more, probably.
Right. I'm going to go so far as to say if they do sell it, they probably do sell it for more. Because no one in this generation is reading those labels on the back saying, oh, yeah, this is Carolina rice you could be getting on the bottom of the shelf.
Well, they don't know what Carolina rice is. I'm very happy with our American long grain rice. And there are other products. I mean, I have a store in my neighborhood that does not carry Carolina because they only carry, organic and other, what I call hoo-ha products, meaning, slightly sarcastically, special products.
Special
qualities. And I have bought, in a pinch, I've bought some of these expensive organic, but grown in Texas, rice, and they're all excellent.
Check this out, Carolina enriched rice. I'm just on Google right now at Walmart for $7.47. Okay, Mahatma.
They have Mahatma?
They do. Okay, no, I'm wrong. 20 pounds. This is a 20 pound bag for $11.22. Walmart. Mahatma extra long 3 pounds is $2.93.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's the same price.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so back to potatoes for a moment here, because it's sort of my kvetch of the week, although it's sort of becoming the kvetch of the decade. Potatoes are not stored properly in most markets. I don't care if it's a supermarket, if it's a neighborhood grocery, if it's a farmer's market, ha, ha, ha. What are they selling in February as I bought? I'm thinking, let me just say, I've eyed these potatoes and I'm not eating a lot of potatoes. So I bought some beautiful-looking russets for baking from the farmer, and we brought them to Pennsylvania to my nephew's house, and I don't think we never got to eat them. I don't recall why. But when I went to the market the other day and I saw them again, I said, now is my opportunity. We're not feeling well. A baked potato would be a great thing. Bob will love it. So I bought those potatoes, and I bought some other potatoes, and all these potatoes, no matter the variety, had not been stored well, and I could tell as soon as I peeled the yellow-fleshed potato, and it just felt wrong and looked wrong, and then when I went to cut it, it was particularly dense, but we ate it anyway.
Right.
And actually, I didn't eat it. Bob ate it at first, and I had an inkling what had happened, but I didn't say anything to him. And he said, what does he know? He said, these potatoes are so delicious. They're so sweet. And I think, they were frozen. Now, potatoes, if you store, anybody who stores their potatoes in the refrigerator probably likes this taste. Because what happens is the starches in the potato start breaking down to sugars. I don't know the I don't know the process. Okay, I just know that this happens. There must be a horticulturist out there who can explain this. A biologist can explain this, and they get sweeter.
Yep.
Now I avoid potatoes like that. I never store potatoes in the refrigerator. Yes, it's true. They do get a little shriveled and dehydrated if you store them at room temperature. I actually have a beautiful copper pot. I also have a crock sometimes, and they're loosely covered, and I hide them in there. But they don't last all that long. Anyway, every potato I have bought lately has been stored improperly. At the supermarket, you'll often see them in the refrigerator. Don't buy them. You'll also see them under lights, and they're turning green. Don't buy them. They say green potatoes are toxic. I haven't tested this. I bet you there's somewhere in history somebody who died of eating a
green potato.
But I do know, because I have tried eating them, that they're bitter. So why would you want a green potato? It's not going to kill you.
It's even
unless
worse.
Unless you're so poor that that's all you can eat. Pardon me?
I said it's even worse because I have been going on and people laugh at me because I would say 9 times out of 10, and I eat a lot of potatoes, and 9 times out of 10, these are red. Doesn't matter. Either they're too soft and the people who get them get an earful from me, or when you cut them open, you can see the three different divisions where it's getting ready. It's not ready to sprout per se, but you can see mostly what you can see is the way that they were transported to the supermarket is where they potentially encountered their first bit of difficulty.
You're right. It's the middlemen. The middlemen who make the most money on this. But in this case, what was so disappointing is that this is from a farm stand that I buy from all the time. And it wasn't even a freezing day. It wasn't like they could say to me, we took them out of storage in the morning and they were sitting outside for several hours and it was 28 degrees. No, it was above freezing day, and I don't know what they can do about showing potatoes outside, but 38, 40 degrees is actually, that is refrigerated, but it's not frozen. I'm telling you, the first potato that the first two yellow-fleshed ones had literally been frozen. Then, of course, I didn't cook the rest of the potatoes for a few days. They say that it'll go back to getting starchy, but in a couple of days, they were still sweet. Anyway, moving on from potatoes,
and knowing
another
the difference.
Thing that I really do like to eat when I'm not well is broth. I recently, because it was on sale, bought a product called Kitchen Basics. You see this? It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those boxed broth
yes.
products. So I threw it away. I opened it up. It smelled terrible. I tasted it. It tasted terrible. It was thin. I thought, even for $3, this is not worth it. I'm not ruining my food with this. I then also had, for comparison, a box of collagen.
Mm-hmm.
I used that.
Collagen is good.
Collagen was very good for boxed broth.
Right.
You know?
It tastes normal. What people really do have to be on the lookout for is you would be absolutely staggered at the, you know, organic free-range chicken broth. I won't mention brands that have high fructose corn syrup in it. It's like, guys.
No, that's number one is you look at the ingredients. Number two, you buy it and you taste it. Anyway, moving on, I had to have good broth. So that's a nice thing to do when you're sick, make broth, I decided. I did have to have enough energy to get out to buy the bones, but I bought 4 pounds of meaty neck bones. They were very expensive. I wanted to see the cost comparison too. So 4 pounds at $3 a pound was $12 worth of neck bones. I put those in a roasting pan with a large carrot cut up, a large onion cut up, a couple of ribs of celery cut up, not into little pieces, just into chunks, everything. And I put that in a roasting pan in a 450-degree oven, and I roasted them with the vegetables for a little over an hour, tossing it. Well, in the end, I decided toss was not the right word if I was going to write this up. I used tongs to turn all the meat over. And because I did want both sides to get exposed on both on pan and over. Anyway, but after a little over an hour, the bones were, and the meat was a nice dark brown. If it's not a dark brown, leave it in for another 15 minutes. And I put all those into my stock pot with, and the vegetables, with another fresh carrot, another onion, and another rib of celery, and a large bouquet of herbs. I'm not using the word pretentiously. I'm using it a little sarcastically.
Right, bouquet gardening. But basically a handful of, you know, a big...
It was actually a large bunch of parsley, mainly the stems I put in the pot, tied up with, I happened to score some, what I thought were pretty fragrant, fresh bay leaves. So I put a couple of those in the bunch. I also had thyme in the house. I put, 6 or 8 sprigs of thyme in there. And that was it. And I tied that all up with a piece of string, put that in the pot, also put in, a tablespoon of peppercorns. And I let that simmer I washed out my roasting pan with water to get up every browned bit that was in there, poured that into the stock pot, and then added 7 quarts of water. So maybe it was altogether nearly 8 quarts of water. It's a large 8-quart, 10-quart stock pot, so it all worked. And I let that simmer. Oh, salt. I added about a tablespoon of salt. I let that simmer for about 7 hours. It really filled up the house with smell, and I didn't have to eat anything, and it was a good smell.
Right.
And, in fact, the broth is now in my freezer, which gives me some sense of security. Do you know what I mean?
So is it? But that's actually stock,
yeah.
though, right?
So, well, yeah. I mean, no, I don't know. It's a nice tasting but not intense broth. And I got about six quarts of a really nice broth. I strained everything, of course. I haven't done any fining of it yet. I do have a linen napkin that I use for years and years now to strain, clarify broth. Mine is still cloudy. But I got a little over 6 quarts, and it cost, let's say, $12 for the meat and bone. By the way, I could have eaten the boiled meat. Of course, it's all cooked out after 7 hours. You just simmer, slowly. I could have eaten it. I did taste a few pieces. It was pretty much cooked out. But if I was really into it, which, because I was still tender, I wasn't into it, I would have eaten the meat with some horseradish.
Oh, that's good.
That
actually sounds really good. Also, the tablespoon or whatever of peppercorns, that was interesting. I've never done that.
Oh, always, because they strain out very easily at the end.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So anyway, it's very good broth in my freezer. What I'm going to do with it, I don't know, but like I say, it gives me a sense of security.
Do you ever make risotto?
I
not really.
Don't much, but funny you should mention, because I have something in the fridge that I want to turn into risotto even today, because I think we are up to it today. But I have I just bought some beautiful rice because a friend of mine wants me to teach her how to make risotto. So I bought the rice, and then we never got to the risotto. So it's still here. I buy Carnaroli, not Arborio, just to say, without going into a whole thing on risotto. That's for another day. But I wanted to talk about one more thing that we ate, finally, when we were feeling well enough, but we still wanted to eat something gentle. I made something that I used to make years ago and haven't in a long time, is zucchini, or sometimes another vegetable, sautéed with onion in a little olive oil. Not so little. I'll give you measurements in a minute. And then you add your pasta. Of course, we did have pasta in brodo. I did have good chicken broth in the freezer already. And we did one day have just some egg pasta in broth. But in this case, you saute the zucchini with some onion. And then, aside, you beat up a couple of eggs with some grated cheese. I used Parmigiano. This works great with pecorino also. You can mix the two even. And some salt. And I didn't have basil, but I did have good parsley, the tops from what I used in the broth. So a good handful of parsley, coarsely chopped. And then, when your pasta is done, put it in the pan with the zucchini and onion, which is now tender, and toss it a little bit, and take some pasta cooking water, a few tablespoons, and beat it into your egg and cheese mixture. And then toss the egg and cheese mixture on top of the pasta and zucchini. Toss. I do it off the heat. Oh, actually, I do it on the turned-off burner because my grating retains heat for a while. So even though I turn the light off, there's still heat under the pan. And I do this in a big skillet. So for two medium zucchini, this is for two people, one zucchini each, two medium zucchini, I cut into thin strips, meaning julienne, to use the French word, maybe, 2 or 3 inches long, depends on the length of the zucchini. I cut my zucchini in half, and I cut that into, let's say, eighth of an inch strips. And one medium onion. So you cut up your onion. You start sautéing it in medium onion in 3 tablespoons of olive oil. And when the onion is about tender, throw in the zucchini and continue sautéing. It'll take another 5 minutes or so, and everything will be salt and pepper, if you're using pepper that day. And this is for 1/2 pound of spaghetti. I like this with spaghetti. I think spaghetti is maybe the most comforting pasta to me because I grew up eating mainly spaghetti. You know, it's the one, my Italian friends, the one word I can't pronounce well because I grew up in Brooklyn and I still call it spaghetti when I'm out thinking. Instead of spaghetti, you know, really. I grew up eating that, you know, several times a week. I wonder about, speaking of pronunciation, my little four-year-old great-niece says can't instead of, well, I say in Brooklyn can't or can't, whatever, but she says can't like an Englishman because she learned the word from Peppa Pig. You know about Peppa
Pig? Right,
which is,
Peppa Pig, of course, says can't.
She's English.
I understand.
Right? Yeah. So I can't do that.
Right. she'll.
Papa says I can't do that.
Well, we'll see how long that works in Philadelphia.
Jill says can't all the time.
So anyway, to finish off the zucchini onion pasta, which is so delicious with the egg and cheese on it, if it's not saucy enough, if it's not... I said two eggs, a half. Did I say two eggs, a half a cup of cheese, salt, pepper, and a handful of basil if you have it. Parsley's fine, but of course it doesn't have the flavor of basil. Don't use a dried herb, please. And you can add a little bit more pasta cooking water. So actually, when I'm making this, I don't drain my pasta in a colander. I take it out either with tongs or I have this special pasta claw, which always retains a little bit of the water with the pasta.
All right.
I have chili in the freezer.
Oh, no. But you're making...
But only it's at times like this when you can't eat it that you want it the most.
Okay. Don't eat it.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a great week, everyone.
All right, bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.